This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thanks for staying with us here on The Morning Run. You're with Lynn, Julian and Shaoning. Now, the local e-wallet sector is expected to consist of three major players and maybe some smaller niche ones for specific use cases instead of the now 40 over players we have in the market. And this is according to Axiata Digital CEO Khairul Abdullah. He told the Malaysian Reserve during the Malaysia Cashless Day Carnival in KL last week. Presently, there are a lot of e-wallet service providers in Malaysia as consumers' confidence rises due to the convenience as well as the reliability of these payment platforms.
Yeah, not only too many, but the existing players, the major players who comprise almost three quarters of market share among all the 40 players, will also need to think of a way to make money because we're getting a lot of freebies right now. And this kind of thing is unsustainable, right?
Yeah, there's practically cashback every weekend by these three or four major players. So they, of course, must come with a high running cost. And with the absence of critical mass market, the question is, will these smaller players be forced to seek consolidation? I'm sure some of the bigger players are also eyeing like, which one should I maybe do a buyout for because they have a particular market, a particular segment that they want to control. So based on central bank's figures, that is Bank Negara, there are 46 digital money e-money issuers comprising five banks and 41 non-bank firms.
And we actually ran a poll this morning on the BFM Twitter account. It is still open. There are about maybe 15 minutes left to weigh in if you haven't already. And we've had over 200 votes. Now, we asked, how many e-wallet apps do you use? And tell us which ones and why. 23% have said none. 25% have said one. 25% also said two. And 28% said three or more. As if you voted for three or more, I am very curious as to which ones you use and maybe how often you use the different apps. Because, Shaoning, you have, I think, two, right?
Two only. And I confess, I downloaded them. One was because of parking, the convenience of parking. And shamefully, the second was because there were offers on bubble tea. I'm not the drinker someone in my life is, but I wanted to take advantage of some of the offers.
And you shame me for my millennial practices?
Yes, occasionally.
Your daily dose of 18 and a half teaspoons of sugar in a cup.
Absolutely. What about you, Julian? Because you are quite a decentralized sort of person when it comes
decentralized
to...
Decentralized person. I've got like different body parts in different parts of the town.
When it comes to financial systems, I mean, do you use these?
A couple, yes. I definitely prefer them to cash, but I use a couple just to get on the freebie game as well. I think I like it. I like using it. But I'm not sure if the country is ready to move into a cashless society. I mean, the real question is, are e-wallets even needed, right? Are they the actual middlemen that a lot of this internet business model tries to get rid of?
Yeah, the question is, do you think... you know, the evil banks can be the only e-wallet
Correct.
Players
because
in town,
your money
right?
is already in the bank. So you're transferring that from one to another. Can't the banks... I mean, Maybank is there with QRP, and so that money is just taken directly out of your bank as opposed to an e-wallet where you got to top it up and the money is sitting idle without earning interest.
Well, it does make sense to... That's why I always manage your balance for any of these e-wallets and not allow it to be too high unnecessarily because you don't earn any income. Of course, those people who like, you know, don't like banks, you know, Julian, you're one of those, the evil banks out there.
To get you.
I don't not like them. I just... you know, don't like them as much.
You don't trust them, I think, is the case.
Sometimes.
But the question of trust also arises for these e-wallets, right? There is the question, do you think that there's a possibility of fraud? Because maybe they aren't as regulated or their firewalls aren't as strong as the banking system, which, of course, there is a lot of regulation on the banks in terms of their internet banking. But what about e-wallet space? I question that, you know, there is some question mark about that. And maybe that's why I also just, I'm reluctant to have too much in my balance because if really the money goes missing, Where do I complain to?
Yeah, you can actually control that because you can control the amount of money that's topped up into your e-wallet, but which is also one of the reasons why TNG Digital recently launched the money guarantee. You know, they will guarantee any money that's lost in your wallet. So perhaps that may become a feature. Then the question becomes also, how is this different from your bank account, right? Because the bank's money is also insured by the government and is also very secured.
But aside from security and regulation, also there is the problem of accessibility when you're talking about moving towards a cashless society, right? Because in China and in the US, you are seeing completely cashless stores starting to pop up where you go in to do your shopping and you don't pay with cash or a credit card. You pay using whatever app. Yeah.
Yes.
So in China, it would be WeChat Pay, for example, or Alibaba Pay.
There are only two in China for a population of over 1 billion. We have 40 here and counting for a population of 30 million.
Yes, so that's a completely aside. That's another problem in itself that will probably eventually resolve itself, maybe if the markets eventually start to weigh in. But at the end of the day, it does also exclude those people who maybe don't have a smartphone. And there's also the problem here in Malaysia of the fact that not everyone has a bank account. You know, I think the population of our population, 20% are still unbanked, if I remember correctly, from a Bank Negara statistic a couple of years ago. So this kind of technological literacy is not quite there in our population. And actually, Shaning and I spoke to Vincent Fong of FinTech News Malaysia on the Pressing Matters a little while ago, and he moderated a discussion at the My FinTech Week hosted by Bank Negara about these kind of fintech possibilities and e-wallets. And he did a quick poll of the audience and asked how many of you use e-wallets. And obviously these people that go to My FinTech Week, they are the major fintech players. And very few of them actually were active users of e-wallets.
So you
would think that this would be the prime demographic to utilize these kinds of things, right?
Yeah, but I also moderated an event there. And in fact, TNG Digital and a lot of the cashless leaders were in that room. And that room had quite a high incidence of e-wallet users. So I guess it really depends on the crowd. But from the viewpoint of Malaysia as a whole, Bank Negara doesn't like cash. They don't like checks.
It costs money to handle cash.
There is this great big push by Bank Negara to go cashless. Recently, they also came up with Do It Now. I'm sure a lot of people are not on Do It Now yet. I am not. But you know, there is a regulator push to go cashless.
And also the fact that though there is no uniformity in terms of e-wallet payment technology, that is also posing a problem for the wider proliferation of e-wallets into the Malaysian populace. Hopefully this gets resolved sometime soon, and then we will maybe be able to go and more easily pay for our groceries and our various bits and bobs with our e-wallets.
The question is from a personal financial planning perspective. Mm-hmm. Is this better for you or worse for you? Do you find these e-wallets help you manage your cash more?
That is a good question. But I think it is going to be quite an interesting space to watch, because there are estimates that this is at the end of the day, it's a segment that is only going to grow, right? We are going to see more of these cashless methods being used in society, and it's how do regulators also keep up with those trends. Aside from that, though, on the other local news front, we did have some news about the Third National Car, specifically the firm that is the anchor company for the project, because Prime Minister Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad acknowledged that Dream Edge is actually linked to the government. So he said a government agency made its own decision to indirectly acquire stakes in Dream Edge after seeing a new national car project about to take off. But he did distance himself a little bit from the matter.
Yes, actually he said he's not the one, but another government agency, which of course he leads that government that's in charge of that project. Meanwhile, MCA President Wee Ka Siong had criticized the government for breaking its promise not to use public fund for the third national car project. And I think this is a valid criticism, because we've had a lot of bad experiences with Proton and the likes of Malaysia Airlines as well.
Yes, there's been money spent on, I would call, almost vanity projects where there's actually no outcome. The question is, do we really need a third national car? I mean, Proton and Produa are our national cars doing well. And in fact, Proton, for a change, is actually profitable. And it'll be exciting to see the new lineup of cars. So for a population of 32 million, do we need another car? Is my big question.
Yeah, I guess.
We have 40 e-wallets, though, so we can have like... How many car companies?
I think we like to go into excess. Is that what you're saying, Julian?
Yeah.
Yeah, who's the market for this third national car? I mean, we initially said things like flying car, electric car, EV car. I'd be curious to know, what is the third national car all about? We do know, I think there's some news about it being a joint venture with Daihatsu, but doesn't Daihatsu already have a relationship with Perdua?
Yes, they do.
So, yes. I mean, is this a replication? Would it be just another version of the Myvi? You know, that's why I'm curious to know the finer details.
Mm. I guess it depends, though. Like, when you ask, why do we need these? You know, what was the result of the previous projects that we've had so far? I guess it depends on what's your metric of success, right? Because maybe they're putting forward this third national car as a branding solution, as a way to market Malaysia further in the international arena. You're looking very skeptical at
know.
Me.
I don't know about that. It could be a conduit for all sorts of bad things, right? And we don't want that happening. By the way, you know, just to look into some of Dream Edge's other projects, they have expertise apparently to develop military assets, including a light strike vehicle.
Like a mini tank?
I'm trying to imagine what a light strike vehicle is, right? Light strike.
That was a second maybe of a little total
rotan,
confusion.
Maybe a little rotan at the end of to beat you if you do something wrong.
Well, nonetheless, Dream Edge has come out to refute some of the statements made by Wee Ka Siong, because they've said that these assertions are untrue, and that VentureTech is only owns about 10% of Dream Edge and has since early 2017. They don't even have an appointed board representative. And their CEO, Khairil Adri Adnan, he also added that Dream Edge passed all the due diligence checks and all the criteria required by VentureTech as an investor way back in 2016. And they've also secured private funding for the new national car project.
I just wonder, why wasn't there like an open tender process? If really is something that the government wants to do, right, the third national car, why is there not enough engagement with the rest of the stakeholders in the auto industry? And we are still waiting for our national auto policy, which is supposed to come out in September. How does this third national car play into this entire auto policy?
A lot of questions.
Where we have no answers at the moment. So it'll be interesting to know the final details.
Indeed, it will. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.